Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the sixth chapter of the Holy Gospel, according to St. John, beginning with the fifth verse. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that had been done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us to your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. If there was ever true wonder bread, it was the food that came down from heaven during Israel's 40 years of wandering in the desert. Israelites called it manna, which means, what is it? For they had no idea what to make of it. It appeared in the morning like frost on the ground, but after the people would gather it together, it evaporated. The bread that was made from manna tasted like wafers made from honey. In our text for today, though, we see a far greater miracle that transcends this one described in the Old Testament. Let us then consider this theme, a wonderful miracle, yet a miracle that was misunderstood. First, we shall see that Jesus provided this great miracle to show his compassion and his love. Our text picks up just after Jesus and his disciples had sailed across the Sea of Galilee in order to find some much-needed rest. Yet this respite wouldn't last long, for as they were sitting upon the grassy hill, the multitude had scurried along the shore of the Sea of Galilee in pursuit of Jesus and his disciples. So, Jesus took this opportunity to test his disciples. He said to them, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He did this so that his disciples would come to recognize him as the Messiah who could provide all things, even bread in the wilderness. So what would the disciples do? Philip approached the problem quite rationally. He simply concluded they would have to go out and buy bread. The problem was that not even half a year's salary would provide enough bread for all to be satisfied. Andrew took a different tact. He decided to scout about to see what he could rustle up. But all he could find was a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. At best, it would take 3 barley loaves to feed a man. And this boy had intended to sell these loaves amidst the crowd. The remainder of the disciples, well, they weren't a whole lot better. They were simply content to send the crowd away in order to fend for themselves. All in all, the disciples failed this test. because they had such little faith and because they leaned on their own understanding. But is our faith in God's providential care any greater than these disciples? On Sunday morning, we regularly confess our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who promises to protect us in every need. And yet by Monday morning, we have completely forgotten about him, trusting once again our own abilities to secure a paycheck for ourselves. To be sure, when a fire breaks out in our house, the Lord doesn't just want us to pray. He wants us also to throw water upon the fire. And yet he still wants us to confidently trust that he will provide. This is what it means to have God-given faith. For the psalmist explains, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself, it turns only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. After the disciples had suggested to the Lord what should be done, the Lord had compassion on them and performed this great miracle. First, he sat the 5,000 down in order to serve them. Then he took the 5 loaves, blessed them, and distributed them. He did the very same thing with the fish. Now just think of the thoughts that must have been racing through the disciples' minds. For the disciples no doubt thought that the crowd would riot once they realized that Jesus had not enough food to provide for them. And yet Jesus continues to provide bread and fish. Bread and fish. He gave them more and more. And if that were not enough, even then some more. In fact, he provided so much bread and fish that afterwards 12 baskets of leftovers were gathered up from just the leftovers. Indeed, this miracle was far greater than the one performed in the Old Testament. He is indeed the new and greater Moses. Here God demonstrates once again his providential care for us. For he not only takes care of our essential needs, not only our needs, but also the unbelievers, but he also provides in abundance. No other people on this globe understand that better than Americans. For we as Americans have a standard of living that would be unfathomable in times past. Our own college cafeteria provides us with a diet so diverse that kings in ancient times couldn't possibly imagine the bounty that we partake of every day. In fact, even our poor possess cell phones and other technological gadgets. We truly have every reason to give thanks with the small catechism. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Still, Jesus also provides a lesson in the leftovers. He calls us to be faithful with his blessings. For he doesn't want us to waste them. Our waste is what most people in this world would long to have, our mere scraps. Thus our Lord calls us to be faithful with his blessings, to properly use them and take care of those around us. Now we'll see that because of this miracle, many wanted to enter into the kingdom of God. And yet we must remember that the reason that the crowd followed after Jesus was not because of his gospel preaching, but rather because of all the miracles that he had performed. Granted, they recognized him as a new and greater Moses, one who would indeed provide bread from heaven. But the crowd only wanted a bread king who would fill their stomachs so that they could give up working. In short, they wanted a kingdom of God for all the wrong reasons. They wanted church simply where all the good times flowed. They didn't want to daily repent of their sins. They didn't want to regularly meditate upon the word of God, much less take up their cross and follow him. Sad to say, this bread king Christianity has taken over much of what passes for Christianity today. Law and gospel has been replaced with consumer-driven Christianity and prosperity gospel. The life-giving means of grace have been replaced with spectacles and life shows and light shows. Should it really surprise anyone then that our materialistic culture's greatest gift to the world is a crossless, cheap grace knockoff of Christianity that at best will only clog our spiritual arteries? This is why the authentic Christian can only be truly satisfied with the bread of heaven. To be sure, our Lord provides blessings in abundance, even upon the wicked. And yet only the word and the sacrament can satisfy us. Only they can fill the hole in our hearts. For our souls are never at rest, reminds us St. Augustine, until they rest in the Lord. In fact, our Lord himself cried out in the midst of his own temptation, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." What then is this bread of life? Our Lord himself declares, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give will give life for the world. It is my flesh." Brothers and sisters, it is none other than the means of grace, the word and sacraments. This is Christ himself. It is the food for the pilgrim, the food for the wayfarer, the bread of heaven. Indeed, it is the archetype of the Old Testament manna. For when we partake of such food, we become one with Christ, sons of God and citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord indeed performed a mighty miracle which showed forth his compassion and love. With 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, he provided in abundance for over 5,000. And yet this miracle was misunderstood, because the people wanted a bread king and not the bread of life. Brothers and sisters, may we each always put the bread of life before our daily bread and ask this Holy Spirit every day to continue his daily act of renewal. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen.